A lot of legislative session recap this morning, and for that, we turn to Jeff Carrier, host of Ringside Politics, joins us every Tuesday. Jeff, good morning. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. So Friday morning, and to a lesser extent yesterday as well, a lot of the emotion of the legislative session had yet to wear off. But I think this morning is kind of the first chance to really dig in on the actual what of what went down, not the how. So what were a few of your takeaways from this legislative session?
Well, you know, I think it was a mixed bag, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the House conservatives were happy that they got some of the social conservative measures through, some of the issues involving the LGBTQ agenda. We're not happy about the fiscal issues. However, I know the governor was not happy about how things ended. I don't think anybody was happy about the way this mm-hmm. session ended. So, I mean, I don't think anybody is totally upset. I don't think anybody's totally satisfied with it. So it's what usually happens in Baton Rouge. It was sort of a mixed bag.
Let's talk about those LGBTQ bills, because you kind of had to know going in the governor was going to veto them. That's not like he has promised to veto them. I don't know if he's actually done that yet or not, but there's a part of me that says, why bother this year when you know you're going to have a conservative governor? You're a lot more certain next year to have the bill get signed than you are this year. So
right.
Why did we eat up oxygen fighting for it now?
Well, I mean, I think with the election coming, these legislators can say, hey, this is what we got through in the session. The governor vetoed it. So, you know, we need more reinforcements. We need a Republican governor to make sure that it doesn't get vetoed next year. I mean, there was some brave talk for a while about an override session if he vetoes these bills. And as you say, he is. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, you know, that's going to be successful because it's so rare. So you've got the election coming up, and then you've got just sort of laying the groundwork for next year. Some of these bills take a few years to, you know, be introduced, get passed, get signed by a governor.
Yeah.
So it's a very hot button issue. I mean, it is an issue that has really energized folks on the right. So that's why I think there was a lot of energy to get some of these bills through. Also, a lot of health freedom bills in the aftermath of COVID. A lot of anger about how COVID was handled in the state. So, number of bills in that regard that were passed. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the governor, and we'll see what the legislature does after that.
We're talking with Jeff Carrier, host of Ringside Politics. Jeff, I'm remembering back to just before the session started. You and I were both out at the Pelican Institute for Public Policy's their mm-hmm. pre-session get-together. You know, there was a lot of look at reform, a lot of look at tax reform, to be sure, a lot of look at regulations. Did you see anything play out that would have been on their agenda that, you know, it played out the way we hoped it would?
You know, there was a lot of brave talk about things like income tax removal and yeah. And trying to make Louisiana competitive with other southern states that are doing so well economically. But that didn't happen. So, no, I don't think there was any of that bold reform that many of the people were advocating, you know, during that event. So
yep.
That was disappointing. I mean, you know, the state was flush with cash. That was certainly a good thing in that, you know, we didn't have a situation like we've had so many times where we're scrambling for money. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, how the money was allocated was a big debate. And I know teachers aren't happy because they didn't get what they wanted. And then we got the, you know, Department of Health, which has got $100 million cut. So, you know, it was a lot of people were upset, didn't get what they wanted from the session.
Yeah, you mentioned the income tax thing. That was Richard Nelson's baby. I mean, he touted that, and then it fizzled with the quickness. He's going to have to wear that heading into the election season.
Exactly. And I mean, I think it's happened in the past. I mean, we've seen it many times being talked about and then just getting nowhere. I mean, there's not really the appetite for that kind of bold reform among the current leadership we have in the legislature and the membership. So even though you have this big Republican majority, mm-hmm. I mean, it does not really translate into a lot of bold legislation and really reform legislation and moving Louisiana towards some of these other states, which to me is a real issue of this upcoming election. I mean, how can we make Louisiana more competitive? How can we make Louisiana a state where we can start attracting the people that have left, bring some new people here? You know, the population out migration is a real big issue with me. And, you know, I don't think we did what we needed to do to try to turn that around at all. I really don't.
I completely agree with you. Jeff Carrera, host of Ringside Politics, our guest for another couple of minutes, recapping the legislative session that was. And it was a testament to just how embedded we are into the way we've done things for almost 100 years now. When Nelson's income tax bill came up, a lot of conservative-minded people get to talking to their constituents, and they're like, well, you know, it would be nice if we could make sure we get to the finish line with it, but I'm really kind of comfortable with the homestead exemption that I currently have. I'm really kind of comfortable knowing where I'm at, knowing that I can survive in the system that we've currently got, rather than looking at growing by getting back to just, you know, cleaning the slate, starting over and doing things the right way, rather than learning to live with the limp.
Yeah, the Louisiana way is just to sort of do it the way we've been doing it, mm-hmm. and you know, satisfy the people that have been satisfied. As far as you know, really making dramatic changes, you just don't see it. I mean, when they instituted term limits on their members, I mean, a long time ago, that was bold. You don't see that very often. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So we just sort of limp along, mm-hmm. and it's sort of the same way we keep doing business, and thus other states are eating our lunch. And now we've got, you know, a new governor in Arkansas who's really changing things, and of course they're going to be making more changes in Mississippi, and Texas is really doing well economically, even though they're facing all this illegal immigration. And of course, we know Alabama and North Carolina. We can go all throughout the states in this region that have been doing well, and we're sort of the aberration. So we're there with New York and Illinois and states that have lost population. And I mean, I don't think there's a self-examination as to why. I mean, what are some issues here with the same way of doing business just is not working? But there's just no appetite for it among these folks. Yeah. And I mean, we'll see if the voters send a message and if they put in some real change agents up there in the fall. I'm hoping we really make some significant changes next year. I think we have to, as someone who loves Louisiana.
I once again completely agree with you on that front, because taking on these changes is going to require taking on a ton of work. You have to undo what's already built in before you can rebuild on that front. Like, we can't just get rid of the income tax without looking at the homestead exemption. We can't get rid of the income tax without looking at a lot of the way we handle taxes on a local level, rather than having the state kick down to local as far as the structure, the way we handle business. Hey, before we get you out of here, and I always appreciate your time every week, the effort to pay down state debt, feels like it's a noble effort. It feels like it's a responsible move. As just everyday Louisianans, are we actually going to see the benefits of that effort?
I hope so. I mean, I think it's a valuable effort. I really do. I mean, I know that you had members that wanted to do a lot more, and that was what they were really pushing. I don't think it's something that resonates with a lot of voters. I mean, I don't think this is something that there's a big constituency for, because it's just sort of fiscally responsible and not exactly something very exciting and doesn't get a lot of attention. But I think the more we can pay down state debt, the better. So we did some, which I'm happy with. I mean, I'm glad we didn't just totally abandon that effort. But I mean, that's still something that needs to be addressed next year. I mean, we still have to really handle that. And we're not going to have the flush situation we have. So that's going to be even more difficult next year.
Oh, I know. I'm already looking forward to 2025 and in the hopes that that 0.45-cent sales tax actually does roll off. A temporary tax remaining temporary, that's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream here in Louisiana. And it's it's coming.
So. Yeah. We've seen it before, Brian.
Yep, we have. Yeah, all too many times. He is Jeff Carrere, host of Ringside Politics. Appreciate a couple minutes every week, man. Thanks for hopping on board.
Thank you.
Care. Yep, 640.